U.S. Senator Tim Scott joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jack. I couldn't agree with you more, by the way, on the underlying premise of where we are as a nation.
You're running for president, and you're more important than me, so take it away, Senator.
Well, certainly, if you think about it, what we want as Americans is the Lady of Justice wearing a blindfold, where every single American can have confidence that the premier justice system in the world will apply that justice fairly and equally based on the facts. Today, it appears that this DOJ has for a long time been hunting Republicans and protecting Democrats. I will say that I don't care whether you're a part of our party or not. What we all must have is confidence in the greatest justice system in the world. And today we do not, because it is not. We have to do better. As president of the United States, I would purge out the inconsistencies and the biases in our justice system by starting at the top of it. We need new leadership. You have to fire the folks in charge and start building an organization based on objectivity and an unbiased view that all of America, every single American, must have confidence in our justice system.
Senator Scott, I've been doing this a little bit a while. I'm like the Allstate ad. I've seen a thing or two and over the years and interviewed sitting presidents in the White House, covered this, and had people like you on since my TV days, now my show. And I have to ask you straight up on this one. You know, you have, I think, potentially one of the most unifying messages of anyone running, period, on this country and the divisiveness. And you can tell how much it bothers you and how you want to bring people together. And I don't hear that from every candidate. And yet, when I hear this news, even if you don't like Donald Trump, the DOJ, I think it further divides America. Am I right or wrong?
You're 100% right. Here's what I can tell you. As a guy who understands a justice system where you feel like there's always a thumb on it, real or perceived, that is a problem that actually distorts justice, distorts the American dream, and distorts the view of the individual who holds that theory that there is a thumb on the justice system. On the scale, here's what we know for certain. The former president was hunted based on a bar conversation for years. The Russia hoax was a hoax. Whether or not you like him or don't like him should not be a part of the equation. The question we should be asking, the formula we should use is A, what are the facts? B, how do they apply? And C, what is the outcome? It should not be, what are the facts about the former president, or why is it that for 3 years the FBI seems to have sat on the Biden bribery for three years without ever seeing the light of day, suppressing information on one side and illuminating, creating, or fabricating on the other side? So you have to ask yourself, what is more fundamental to American exceptionalism than the concept of fairness?
Senator Scott, let me switch gears. We had Mike Pence on yesterday, and he's running as well. And you've been spending a lot of time in Iowa. An analyst will say, when I talk about all the candidates, some of our analysts on my show nationally and locally will say, well, Pence and Scott will probably focus on Iowa more. You have a very important faith-driven message, which I personally love, and I talked about it the other day on the show. I love when you announced in Charleston or North Charleston you had faith in America. You were on The View. By the way, I think you might be offered a seat there at some point. You handled that so well. You were on The View speaking up about why you don't like this victimization attitude, why the radicalized left is wrong, how it's not helping individuals. But I guess my question is, is New Hampshire as important to you? And maybe that's why you're on the show this morning. I'd love you on as much as you want to be on. As Iowa, are you going to focus more on Iowa and then New Hampshire, or both at the same time?
Well, Jack, I'm glad you're going to have me on every day. Glad to hear that. That is good news for my
campaign. You're going to be Senator, you're going to be on The View every day.
oh, sorry. I thought you meant The View of your show. My bad. Here's what I'll tell you. I was just in the state about 10 days or so ago at the New Hampshire Federation of Republican Women. I'm coming back within the next 10 days. I am going to take my time in the state of New Hampshire. The one thing I can tell you about the Granite State that I've learned very quickly is that you all are educated, primed for primetime voters who want to engage with each candidate. I am going to commit myself to winning the state of New Hampshire, if at all possible. It is the first primary in our country, and I am going to engage in that state. I'm in it to win it.
Just curious, Senator, have you spoken with Governor Chris Sununu since he announced the other day and was on my show that he's not a candidate for president and wants to play a role and kind of be in the referee? And who knows, he may endorse someone. It might be you. Have you spoken to him since his post-announcement?
We have texted. We have not spoken. I texted him the day after, and we promised to get together and have a conversation sometime soon.
And finally, I'm going to let you go on this. I appreciate the time. Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina, Republican presidential candidate 2024. I asked Mike Pence this question yesterday, Senator. San Francisco, let's just focus on San Francisco, pretty well-known city. Whole Foods, the large grocery chain, had to close its doors 1 year after one of their big stores couldn't stay open because of crime and shoplifting. They had 500 911 calls from employees to police. Two of the major hotels there this week basically have told the city they're not going to pay their rent anymore, or their lease, because they can't make it there. They can't see the future there. And I asked Mr. Pence this. You look at Chicago any given weekend. You look at, and you've seen the results of some mass murders in South Carolina. You look at this country. I wonder, do we have a deeper problem other than the kind of weapon used when someone decides to hurt someone or rob? Do we have a value issue going on? And can you speak to that? Do we have too many young people who are lost and don't respect human rights or people and property? Or is there a bigger problem here than just kind of the weapon used?
Well, there's no doubt that when you look at the weapon of choice, the gun, unfortunately, the left refuses to acknowledge the fact that the vast majority of gun-related deaths are suicide, which reflects a mental health crisis, no matter the choice of weapon. 100,000 overdoses in this country. But when it comes to the value proposition, there is without question a culture of grievance being pushed by the radical left that brings you to the drug of victimhood and the narcotic of despair. Those three are the power of those three, the insidious nature of grievance, of victimhood, and of despair sucks you in like quicksand. And there is something we can do. It's called individual responsibility. It's called, if you are able-bodied, you work. If you commit a crime, you go to jail. There are consequences for your actions. And to live in a world where everybody gets a trophy only means more people will be siphoned in to that culture of quicksand.
Senator, I'm going to go on this. You mentioned overdoses, and thank you. A talking point for you in New Hampshire, the medics, the American Medical Response, keeps in touch with my show since I've been talking about this for years. But in fentanyl overdoses, just in New Hampshire's two largest cities since the beginning of the year, Manchester and Nashua, there have been a total of 358 suspected overdoses, and 53 of those were fatal fentanyl poisoning deaths in just two communities in New Hampshire. So that's just a talking point for you. Hey, Senator, thanks for joining us. You're welcome here anytime. Have a great weekend.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Former New Jersey governor back on the show, presidential candidate Chris Christie was in New Hampshire Tuesday night kicking it off at St. Anselm College. Governor, thanks for being back with us.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to start with the news of the day. Senator Scott was just very outspoken on it. How does this not lead to cynicism in our Justice Department, actually help Donald Trump because he can play, political witch hunt, raise more money, deepen his support among his base? Because people are asking this morning, why aren't they indicting Joe Biden or Hunter Biden? Why is it always Donald Trump? That's just a layman reaction. Do you agree or not?
Look, I think there's a couple of things here. First is that every case has got to be determined on its own merits. And so as far as whatever is going to come out on Tuesday regarding Donald Trump should be judged on the merits of what happens with Donald, what he's done, what his conduct is. And that's why, unlike some of the other candidates in this race who have jumped in to say how unfair this is, I'm not going to say anything like that until I actually see what facts and evidence they have and what they're charging him with. I mean, facts do matter here, and the truth does matter. Now, on the Biden stuff, look, the Hunter Biden stuff, the Hunter Biden case has continued, is continuing, and I want to remind everybody of something. The person in charge of that case is the U.S. attorney in Delaware, who is a Republican that was appointed by Donald Trump. He's the only U.S. attorney in the country who has not been relieved of his duties from the Trump administration. and he wasn't relieved of his duties rightfully because he's in the middle of an investigation against the president's son. And so I wish that they would come to a conclusion on the Hunter Biden case, make a decision regarding charging, and give what I've read. I think that the president's son has some real federal criminal problems. But we need to make sure that we look at each case on its merits. The thing that offends me is that the two Justice Departments ago, they didn't charge Hillary Clinton. And I think right. that was wrong. I said so at the time. And as a former U.S. attorney, I still believe that and said that at the convention right. in 2016. But each one of these cases has to judge on their merits. If they screwed it up two times ago, it doesn't say, okay, well, if you screwed it up then, you have to ignore facts now. I don't think that's fair either.
You're one of the only candidates I know running who's a former U.S. attorney. So you know a lot about justice. And my question to you, Chris Christie, is these cases, as you said, are run professionally, wait and see what the charges are. Why is it when it's Donald Trump, we almost know how many indictments there are going to be, when it's going to come out? They forecast it on CNN. And I have to tell you, Mr. Christie, because I know one of the premises of you running is to be the one person who can take on Donald Trump among the Republicans, the one person who can go toe-to-toe with him on the debate stage and punch back maybe twice as hard. But I have to tell you, you're running for president here in New Hampshire. I've been doing this a while. This morning, before I get to the studio, stopping for coffee, I talked to a home builder. Hey, Jack, I know you'll be talking about this morning. Why is it they're always after Trump and Biden sales and Hillary sales and Hunter sales? It's a one-sided system. And that was from a home builder. And then I talked to another sure. person who's not a political wonk, said the same thing. So perception creates a reality. The country's divided. It seems to me that Merrick Garland, all he's doing here is further dividing America and actually helping Donald Trump because he can play victim and say it's a political witch hunt like Russia collusion.
All right, so Jack, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I've been getting the same kind of phone calls from folks and text messages that you just talked about. But here's the question that I have for any of those people is if there is was a mistake made on Hillary Clinton, and I believe there was, does that mean now that Donald Trump has a free pass to do whatever he wants? Because to be able to go after him would then look like it was biased, and therefore you can't go after him. So right. the Attorney General of the United States, let's assume, because none of us know what really is charged in there, what the facts are, but let's assume that there's a set of facts that say this is clearly a case that should be brought, but everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Should the Attorney General say because three Attorney Generals ago, they messed it up, I must mess it up too? That justice system doesn't right. work either. And by the way, on Hunter Biden, if they had decided not to charge Hunter Biden, I would be speaking about that. The decision hasn't been made yet. And so we may be sitting here 2 or 3 weeks from now discussing an indictment of the president's son. And if we are, and Merrick Garland passed on this case, is that then a dual system of justice?
Understood.
That Biden's son was indicted, but we took a pass on Donald Trump because, you know, it didn't happen to Hillary Clinton? I mean, that's why I say each case has to be judged on its own
sure.
merits.
Before I let you go real quick, I want to ask you about opioids and fentanyl in a moment because you've played a role in this in the past.
Yes,
but
sir.
Real quickly, to finish the Donald Trump discussion, do you think these ongoing legal challenges will end up hurting him as the nominee and his chances of either getting the nomination and being reelected with independents, or do you think that actually will help him? In other words, do you think eventually these legal challenges, indictments, will be a liability or a strange kind of asset in terms of people who feel that he's being persecuted?
I think in the near term, before we know what all the facts are, Jack, they're a help in the Republican primary. No matter what it is, they're going to be a liability in the general election if you were the nominee. And that's what our party has to think about. We could very well have a nominee, if he wins, that's under criminal indictment in three different jurisdictions and may well have been convicted in one or more of them before the general election. I don't know how that helps you beat the Democrats.
So, I just asked Senator Scott this when he mentioned overdose. You, Governor Christie, played a national role in this in terms of trying to just in New Hampshire, Governor, you may find this interesting, from the American Medical Response, they're the EMT folks, they yep. provide me, each month, they provide me with, just in Manchester and Nashua alone, you know, our two largest cities in the state, you know that,
yep.
There have been a total of 358 suspected opioid or fentanyl overdoses in just those two communities, 53 of which resulted in fentanyl poisoning or death. That's just two communities. Now, we know the synthetic fentanyl is killing too many people here. We know it's coming from two cartels the DEA's publicly identified on my show, but I don't hear about it nationally. It's like out of sight, out of mind, unless you have a niece or a loved one or a kid or you or someone's addicted and you fall into the path of fentanyl. And a lot of times these people don't even know the fentanyl's in what they're taking. What do we do to stop it?
Look, this is why I urged the president President Trump at the time to have a national commission on opioids and the overdose crisis, and why I chaired it nationally and came up with 120 recommendations to try to deal with this, Jack. Look, we have to look at this two ways. One, we have to get much, much tougher on enforcement at the border in terms of the stuff coming in. The less that we can have come in, the less we're going to have people suffering and dying from it. But it's not that alone. We have to expand what we do with treatment, and we need to be talking about this. That's why I love your show, Jack, because you talk about this. It's a disease, and people who get addicted to opioids have a disease like cancer or diabetes or heart disease, and we need to treat these people and move them away from it. And we've seen successful treatment in New Hampshire and in all over the country that has saved lives. And the only way to do it is to take the stigma away from this and to be telling people, get help, and we're here to help you. We need to do our job at the border, but that's not going to do it alone. It's still going to get up here because there's tremendous demand. And where there's money, there's crime. And so what we need to do is to be treating people and let them know that they should never start this stuff. But if they do, we're not going to discard them. We're not going to put a scarlet letter on them. We're going to embrace them and try to help them, because every life is an individual gift from God, Jack, and every life needs to be treasured and saved and rescued if it can be.
Governor Chris Christie, when are you in New Hampshire next?
I think I'll be in New Hampshire end of next week, Jack.
We'll see you then. Get you back on the show. Make it a great weekend. Thank you, Governor Chris Christie, Republican presidential hopeful 2024. Thanks for being on Good Morning,
Jack.
New Hampshire.